The local paper headline says it all. Hoy es el día. Today is the day. As we speak, rescue teams are continuing to test an empty capsule to make sure that it's safe enough for the miners when they make the journey up.
Live from San Jose, California, it's the Fear the Bin Hockey Podcast. Featuring your hosts, Jason Plank and Matt Taylor, we'll be breaking down all the Sharks action from the past week. From block shots to trade talk and everything in between, we're hitting harder than a Brian Marchman knee. FTF Radio starts now.
It starts off like a season in reverse. A way to set your mind above and over words.
We're back and better than ever, baby. It's the second Fear the Fin podcast. That's Matt Taylor.
That's Jason Plank.
And we would like to thank you once again for showing up. We did a little upgrade.
A little bit.
We went to Guitar Center, picked up some mic recorders.
Got a mixing board.
And we're currently using two things that you will see during the next home game. We'll keep it a surprise for now.
Yeah.
But we are quite excited about it. So the question that we left you guys with at the end of last week was whether or not the Sharks, you know, with the season of inconsistency that they're having, whether or not they should trade a future asset, someone like Devin Setoguchi, for a rental player. And we're going to actually read off some of your answers. This one was authored by the conveniently named author, who said, I'd rather hold on to future parts unless we're getting a guy like Burns, Brent Burns of the Minnesota Wild, who is bound to be a huge part of the team going forward, I assume he means. Tanking a rental now might not fix the problem and leave us with the second issue next season. And I think I agree with that for the most part.
Yeah, I think most people actually agreed with that. Not a lot of people wanted to give up future assets. This one's from Evil Ducks. I do not want to rent a player this year. Auctioning the future away to try and save this horrid season is a terrible idea. Why trade away young players when a stopgap that will just get us into the playoffs where we run into the Wings and Knucks in the first two rounds? If that trade is for Burns, I'm okay with it. So I think similar there. Unless it's a long-term young guy, nobody really wants it.
Right. And this one is from Downright Up Left YB. Cheat codes. Dealing someone like Seto for a D-man who is more likely to cut and run as soon as they become a free agent just doesn't seem worth it this year. Any of the last four seasons, yeah, go for it, because it was very feasible that one extra piece could push the team into the final. The way this year has gone, you suck it up, pull up your bootstraps, hope to make it in, and milk whichever A.N., Antti Niemi, and Taran Ninimaki, is riding hot for all it's worth. And I think, yeah, I mean, in general, I agree with pretty much everyone that giving up a guy like Seto, who's started to turn it on late, just for a rental, it's tricky because, you know, Setoguchi, he's an RFA next year, has good scoring potential.
Yeah, I think you temper that a little bit with the fact that Doug Wilson has had a hard time signing outside free agents and getting somebody into San Jose, into the system like he did with Craig Rivet and then was able to re-sign him afterwards. That helps a little bit if you're looking to add a defenseman next year, because you don't know who's going to be willing to come and sign in San Jose. So if you lose Setoguchi, you get a guy this year, which I don't agree with most that this season is a horrid season or it's, you know, lost, all causes right. Lost. I think the team's good. I think they're missing a piece on defense, and that one piece on defense pushes them ahead. So it really depends on the quality of player. Of course, you're looking for a guy who is signed to a long-term contract and
younger.
Who's young, yeah, and who is talented. You don't want, you know, just a stopgap guy. But at the same time, you don't want to give up Coyle. I've pretty much resigned to the fact that we're probably going to lose Setoguchi this year as part of a deal. So that I'm okay with. But going past that with a lot of early picks, or with Coyle, or with Ferriero, or with any of the other talents that we have in the system, I'm a little hesitant there.
I think I'm much more willing to give up a guy like Ben Ferriero in a potential deal. But then again, I mean, that's not going to land you the guy that you're looking for.
Right.
But I think that prospects are more – I'm a little more hesitant as the year goes by to give up on Setoguchi for a rental player, because I look at this team And just to mention some names that we included last year. Say we give up Devin Setoguchi. The Sharks trade Devin Setoguchi in a package, and that gets them Chris Phillips or Francois Bouchemin. Does Bouchemin or Phillips make the Sharks a better team than the Vancouver Canucks or the Detroit Red Wings this year? And I don't know if they do.
Not overall. I don't think overall, right. But it brings them closer.
And right, it definitely brings them closer.
The way that the Sharks have played those teams this year has shown that they can keep up with them. So if you get a little bit closer, then, hell, you never know what's going to happen in a seven-game series.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you. I mean, Setoguchi is a good player, and you're seeing that now more on the score sheet. I think he has 6 points in his last four games, so he's on a four-game point streak right now, playing really well, I think. And,
yeah, he's been skating a lot better, been going to the net and finally scoring those goals. But it seems like the last year, the production hasn't been there. And we've talked about before, being relegated to the fourth line, the third line. And it kind of seems like McClellan sort of holds him to a higher standard than a lot of other players on the team. He kind of seems to be a whipping boy in that regards. If McClellan's trying to make a statement to the team about work ethic and consistency, he tends to make it through Setoguchi more so than a player like Thornton or Marleau.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. But so transitioning into how the Sharks have done since we last talked, which was right before the All-Star break.
They've been amazing.
They have been good.
Smiles.
Yeah.
6-0-1 in their last 7 games.
Yeah, getting 13 of your last 14 points.
However, 6-6-1 in their last 13 games. So
6-6-1 in their last 13.
Right.
Oh, well, yeah, because it's a 6-game losing streak. Yeah, but I thought they've been markedly better, and I like the way that they're winning games. I still don't like the way that the team plays with a lead. I think that's an issue.
Against Anaheim, definitely an issue. That third period, Niemi played outstanding.
Right. Niemi was very good that period. But throughout the year, and it's a little bit of coaching too, they start short shifting in the third period really early, especially in the forward group. And I don't know if I like playing not to lose instead of playing, just keeping going with the intensity that you've had, which is, that's not necessarily a coaching issue, but it comes on to the guys to keep playing hard. I give them a little bit of slack in the Anaheim game because it was the second of back-to-backs, and in the third period, they're getting pounced on by Anaheim, who I don't think had played since the All-Star break. So that's a little tough. Give them a pass there. But this team playing with leads is going to be an issue going forward because they've blown so many third-period leads this year, and that's really the issue for me.
And I think kind of piggybacking on what you were saying about short-shifting and everything, the Sharks, if you look at the Sharks team on paper, their strengths definitely are their offensive game.
Yeah.
So when they kind of retreat into that defensive shell, those inadequacies on the roster are highlighted a lot more.
More apparent, yeah.
Right. So if they just keep their, pedal to the metal, put the foot on the gas, obviously defensemen much more cautious when pinching in the offensive zone.
Right.
But getting the puck down low, and like we saw last year in the postseason, they're a very, very good team along the boards. Guys like Ryan Clough, Joe Thornton can really control that game along the boards and really slow the puck down. And as long as they avoid those high turnovers and just work the puck down low on the boards, I think that's probably their best bet to start holding those third period leads instead of blowing. How many has it been? Six?
Six, yeah. Almost seven.
Almost seven.
Yeah.
But six, right.
Yeah, but I mean, I really liked that they took the momentum that they had in the Phoenix game and then come out just ready to go against Anaheim. I mean, Danny Heatley scored 14 seconds in, which is huge, getting started, especially against a guy like Jonas Hiller. And then they just kept pouring it on in the first period, which is great. If they can continue to play like that game in and game out, that's why we always thought they were such a tough team to beat. I mean, at the beginning of the season, we talked about, this is a team that's going to be winning games 6-4, winning games 5-3, because they've got all that offensive firepower. If they can put periods together, the inadequacies on defense aren't going to be as big of a deal because they're going to be scoring so many goals.
Right.
Now, even strength scoring has been a huge issue for this team this year. And I think that's, besides
from
the
top line on down.
Yeah, probably the biggest problem with the team this year is even strength scoring.
And I feel like that historically has been an issue for the Sharks. Maybe not to the degree that we're seeing this year, but that has always been a common complaint of mine, and I think of many, where the team relies on the power play a lot to win games, and the power play tends to go into dry spells where they're really, really struggling. And when the power play struggles, the Sharks seem to struggle scoring goals too, and they don't have that kind of even strength wherewithal to get them through those stretches.
So let's talk about the roster for a minute, because Mitchell is almost ready to come back. And that makes a really interesting situation for the team, because mm-hmm. when he comes back, there really aren't very many Worcester guys to send back down, because Ben Ferriero, I think, has cemented himself onto this team. Mm-hmm. I don't think you could justifiably push him off.
Right.
McCarthy just got sent down for tomorrow's game because Nichols back and Couture's back.
McGinn's still down,
which we could talk about that in a second. But this team, when they added Eager and Wellwood, I don't think a lot of people realized how much of an effect that was going to have on who's on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many guys that were
injured at the time,
exactly.
too, when they were acquired, that they kind of fit in and no one really was pushed out. But
and
now
Nickel
with
suspended.
Everyone, yeah, now with everyone getting healthy and Nickel coming back.
So we could roll down the lines right now. I mean, you have Thornton, Heatley, Marlowe on the top line. Let's just go with that because they're the three premier players.
Right.
And then on the second
actually,
line,
on a side note, Logan Couture might be centering the third line. Today.
Yes.
Today, because
yeah.
we are recording it yesterday. We yeah. are recording in the past, actually, right now.
Logan Couture. So we'll just go Heatley, Thornton, Marlowe on the top line. Then you have Pavelski,
well,
you,
we
Klo,
could even
and
just
Setoguchi.
Do it.
Right.
Let's just do it down the middle. You have
okay.
Thornton, Pavelski, Couture.
Couture.
Those three.
Right. And then you have Nickel on the fourth, and then you also are stuck with Mitchell, who could piggyback. Well, you have Wellwood, too.
Wellwood will probably start playing wing.
Yeah, I think that.
I think he's going to be playing wing, although his faceoffs haven't been bad.
No, and I like
mm-hmm.
the way that he's set up.
Yeah, Wellwood
as the playmaker role. I like that a lot. So
Wellwood has looked good. That's
great,
becoming
pickup.
More and more a better acquisition for the Sharks, just in terms of depth.
And Eager's looked good, too.
Yeah.
So,
he has.
I mean,
yeah.
But so getting back onto our point, when Mitchell comes back, where do you put him? Who do you send down? I think that is going to push a trade of a forward probably sooner. Not him coming back is going to mean we have to trade somebody, but that's going to lead to something happening as far as a trade coming up soon.
Right. I mean, as we talked about last week, those acquisitions make players expendable in the event of a trade. Where
makes Torrey Mitchell expendable.
Ben Ferriero expendable,
yeah.
et cetera.
Devin Setoguchi. I mean,
yep.
you could get away with losing any of those three players and you
right.
wouldn't see a huge difference. A little bit, I mean, more with Setoguchi because of the talent.
Right.
But other than that, I mean, you're not seeing a huge change as far as, you know, players leaving.
Let's transition into our first commercial break of the night, and we'll check you guys on the flip side.
There is a crow moon coming in where you keep looking at.
Tonight, I'm doing something just for me. I'm going to Fear the Fin Personals, where Sharks fans are online 24/7.
Patrick Marleau jersey, home or away, baby.
You don't need to go out to have a good time. That good time is waiting for you online. You're just a comment box away from being fulfilled beyond your wildest imagination.
We could talk Jamie McGinn all night long.
With so many fun and exciting Sharks fans on at all hours of the night, there's no time to waste. Fear the Fin Personals now.
You should never masturbate alone.
I gave you all the love I got. I gave you more than I could give.
How about that Al Stalock kid, eh?
God, savior of the franchise.
Really, and he loves his hot dishes. A hot goaltender.
A man walks down the street. I like Stalock, and I think a lot of people like
yeah,
Stalock.
Yeah, you know, I like Stalock too.
With
yeah.
your Minnesota sweater on. But yeah, I a lot of people like Stalock because he's a new, fresh face. He's a top prospect,
and he's from St. Paul, Minnesota.
I don't know if that has much to do with it, but for Plank, it sure does. But we kind of want to temper the excitement just a little bit. I mean, he did have a shutout in his 9 saves. In this two, when did he even come in? Second period?
Yeah, he came in, about probably midway through the second after Niemi gave up that third goal.
Right, which Niemi didn't look that bad. I mean, he already had
he
to
didn't.
Make 27,
Niemi,
27
Niemi
shots
really
against.
Didn't look that bad. And honestly, I mean, Niemi, I wrote an article maybe 2 weeks ago about, you know, not crowning Niemi the starter for the rest of the year. But, I mean, he's done his damnedest to prove me wrong.
Yeah.
He has been phenomenal in terms of not kicking out rebounds. His rebound control is night and day from where it was at the beginning of the season.
And he's much quicker post to post now, too. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's getting that push off. Yep.
He's keeping his shoulders elevated. He's not going into hunchback mode. I mean, every once in a while, you'll see him kind of revert arms, to yeah. those, yeah, revert to those bad, you know, dinosaur habits. But I mean, he really, his work with the goaltending coaches in San Jose has been great. And it makes you wonder if Chicago even has a goaltending coach.
That's tough, right? But so Stalock,
yes.
Yeah, back to Stalock.
Yeah, back to Stalock.
I like him being with the team. You know, it's always great to have another top prospect up with your team. It makes people excited. It gets people into it. Mm-hmm. At the same time, though, he's not ready for full NHL duty. I am pretty hesitant to give him a start coming forward. We had a couple people ask us on Twitter.
I actually think a start. Do they play back to back? Let me pull up the schedule.
That's
right,
fine.
Here.
We had a couple people ask us when we think Stalock's going to get a start, and I'm not saying he doesn't get
on a back to back. I think he definitely should get.
But it depends on how far away Nitamaki is. Who? Let's set the table a little bit here. So Stalock was sent back yesterday morning, Friday morning, sent back down to Worcester. That same day, Nitamaki re-injured himself in practice.
That's been a strange situation.
Groin. I mean, he said it. Oof. Just, you know, but he re-aggravated the same injury. Right. And so Stalock will be back tomorrow to back up Niemi. And he will probably be here for a while.
And just looking at the schedule right here, the Sharks play the Capitals on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, they have a back-to-back against the Blue Jackets. And I think against Columbus might be, provided Nitamaki isn't back, this might just be a one-day setback or one-game setback. But if Stalock is still on the roster on Wednesday, I would like to see him get a start, and I think a lot of fans would, and I think the coaching staff would as well. In the event that Nitamaki struggles with this groin injury all the way for the rest of the season, getting Stalock some experience now is important, especially Columbus, you know, is a, I wouldn't say a horrible team, but middling to below average. It's going to be a real rough ride for them to make the playoffs this year. So
it'll be interesting to see who starts today, too, because Nitamaki was supposed to make today's start.
You go with Niemi.
You probably
because
do.
I mean, yeah. He's had 2 days off, and I mean, he's the 1A right now.
I think Stalock played on Friday too, so that might affect it also. So,
right.
But yeah, I like him being with the team, but you need to see more than nine saves in a game where San Jose dominated the last two periods.
Right.
They were always in Phoenix's zone. I think you need to get a little bit more clarity.
Yeah, definitely. And you look at his save percentage from last year in Worcester, I think it was around a 910.
Mm-hmm.
And this year it's a 907. He's improved greatly. I think during the first month of the season it was about an 895, and now he's at a 907 or something along those lines, I believe, which is great to see the improvement there. But I mean, again, you know, that's a guy who's, you know, an average goaltender, statistically speaking. He's playing behind a very bad Worcester team. Well, not very bad, but a struggling, a really struggling Worcester team this year. So that has an effect. But he hasn't, you know, really blown the doors off down in the AHL yet.
Right.
And
like maybe a Bernier.
Right. Yeah. Like a Bernier who had like a, what did he have last year? Like a 938 or something. So, I mean, so yeah, he hasn't really blown the doors off in the AHL. He's a very exciting prospect. I love what I've seen. A good puck handler. There's been countless articles about him comparing him to Marty Turco and Martin Brodeur, with handling the puck, which helps the breakout, especially when the defense at times can struggle, you know, getting the puck up the ice.
Yep.
So he's a very exciting player, but like Matt was saying, tempered enthusiasm is the way to go. You betcha.
Hold those horses. We got an update on the health of Al Stalock.
Breaking news from Fear the Fin.
Al Stalock has apparently left the Worcester Sharks game late in the third period with injury. He was expected to be called up to the Sharks tomorrow. Matt, what do you have to say?
Kind of throws in our wrench in our earlier discussions about Stalock coming up and making a big impact on the team. They'll probably end up calling up Anderson again, maybe Sexsmith, because if he's not injured anymore.
I think he came
healthy,
back, but
yeah.
Right, yeah.
So it's going to be one of the two. Same thing, though. Neither one's going to get any starts. It's going to be all Niemi. They're going to ride him from
except
here on out.
Except for the back-to-back Wednesday.
Could be an issue.
But see, with Nitamaki, he could only be a day.
And it could be that Stalock isn't hurt that bad anyway, so
yep.
we don't know.
Yeah, so that just about covers it. We also saw some criticism leveled at the Sharks for starting Stalock on Friday. That's kind of ridiculous in our eyes. He needs as much playing time as possible, playing time that he's probably not going to get in San Jose outside of the back-to-back games. So makes sense to start him today. Anything 100%. That you have to add? Yeah.
Nope, that's it.
That concludes your breaking news update, made slightly redundant because we are on tape.
So it seems like what we're always going to be doing until the trade deadline comes is talk
February
about
28th.
February 28th. Talk about trade targets.
Yes.
February 28th, the biggest day other than Valentine's Day in February.
I think it's bigger.
Bigger?
Yes.
Well, yeah, your girlfriend's not here, so.
Right.
That's true. Send some flowers to Doug Wilson, too. So the first two guys we're going to be talking about today, both Columbus defensemen. Somebody suggested,
just as a segue into that,
yeah.
Darren Dreger, who is, I mean, notoriously respected across the league for having insider access and access to players, agents, general managers. Seems like everyone trusts this guy. And, I mean, he's just a great source for information. Your number one go-to. This week he started a daily feature, Monday through Friday, on TSN.ca called the Dreger Report, where he takes three news items of the day and writes about them. And I believe on Thursday, it was the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Want to make a move.
They want to make a move, and it's supposedly going to come sooner rather than later. And they were talking about one guy that has been mentioned a lot is Rostislav Klesla.
We disagree a little bit on Klesla.
A little bit.
I like him a lot. I think he's a great player.
I have concerns with his injury history.
His injury history
has been very, very troubling.
Real bad. And it always seems to happen second half of the season, too.
I don't think he's played more than 40 games in the last 2 years. This year he's been actually very, very healthy.
He's been
and
healthy
his stats
and been
have been
too.
Yeah, very, very effective.
Yeah,
arguably one of their best defensemen.
He moves well. He moves the puck better than the next guy we're going to talk about. And I think that when you're talking about the Sharks defense, the real thing that they struggle with is moving the puck up the ice, and that is when bringing in Klesla would help. I don't think he's the world beater guy that he once was when you were talking about trading for him. And he's fourth overall, I think, Columbus's first.
In 2000. Yeah. In 2002.
Yeah. So great player, not an elite player, but I think he'd help.
I think Klesla would help.
I would like to see what his contract is, though, so I want to pull that up
now. He just signed an extension for 4 years, and he's around $3 million, I believe. So you have him locked up. It's very, very affordable for a player like him. And, you know, just going on along with what Matt was saying, moving the puck and everything like that, that's what Klesla brings, and that's what DW has always kind of, located. And then, again, he's gone and signed Nicholas Wallin and Ken Huskins, which is kind of funny. But he's always talked about, the ability of a defenseman to skate in the modern-day NHL is a very, very important thing, and that's something that Klesla provides.
Here's the great thing about Klesla. Like you said, four-year deal, 2.975, so super affordable for a top four guy, which he is.
Right.
I mean, when he's healthy, he's top four. So
you're paying about $500,000 for each game that he'll play in during the year.
But
no, really, though, that's really the only concern I have with Klesla is the injury history. Something like another guy that we'll talk about later in Sheldon Surrey, who the injury history is very concerning, especially when you're talking about a player that really you're putting all of your cap resources into. Mm-hmm. You need him to stay healthy, because otherwise you're losing a player like David Sedigucci, as well as, the defenseman that you brought in.
The good thing about Klesla, though, is that because his cap hit's so low, you really wouldn't have to move, I don't think, Sedigucci necessarily. If you could find a taker for Kent Huskins.
1.83.
I mean, you have just...
Well, if you can find a taker
right, but
for
still,
Kent Huskins.
But I think if you have...
But...
You have close to enough to get Klesla by himself.
Right, but... But my question would be, if Columbus is going to rebuild and giving up Klesla, a guy that they have for four more years at a very affordable cap hit,
they're going to want.
Right. They're going to want a Devin Sedigucci. I mean, Klesla is intriguing because of those facts, but that's also why he's intriguing to Columbus.
To other teams,
it goes
too.
Both
I mean,
ways.
There's going to be a lot of teams trying to get him. The other guy in Columbus, Jan Heda, and Plank, you talked about him a lot last year, so I'll let you kind of take the ball on
this one. Jan Heda, I mean, just the stereotypical shutdown defenseman will come in. He's not going to get you much offense, which I think is sort of detrimental this year because you don't have Rob Blake. Last year, Heda fit a little better because you had Rob Blake who, you know, could provide that offense from the point. While Heda's just going to kind of come in and be a Nicholas Wallin type offensively, but a Mark Edward Vlasic type defensively. I mean, he's basically, you know, a Mark Edward Vlasic who's limited offense, but very, very good defensively, strong positionally, above average physically. I mean, he would be he definitely upgrades the team. I think he has a $2 million cap hit at 1 year left. He's set a UFA.
32 years old, though, and his age, I think that's a little bit of an issue. And when you look at Vlasic, maybe he doesn't have they're similar right now, but at least there's that promise of getting more offensively with Vlasic. And I think this year
that was only meant to be a comparison of what they would be bringing to the table. Is he worth the Devin Setoguchi this year? I don't think so. Partly because of the thing that we talked about at the beginning of the podcast where, you know, giving up Setoguchi for a rental is sort of an issue, as well as the fact that, you know, I mean, he is a UFA next year. He's only for 6 months. So,
But you could get him because of his cap hit for something less. But who knows if they're going to want to do that. And how many picks.
If Columbus is rebuilding, though, I mean, Heda is a guy that they would deal because, I mean, he's going to be a UFA.
You feel for Columbus because it feels like they've, after that one playoff year, I thought they were going to be better, but they've been rebuilding forever.
They got swept and then swept under the rug.
Well, Mason really hasn't played up to the par.
Oh, Mason is also a guy mentioned in the Drager report. Who might be moved, but that has no concern of the Sharks.
I mean, maybe in the offseason they would have done that, but with three goalies on the roster right now, I mean, well, you know, with
two,
three guys.
Yeah, two.
Stalock is coming in, can play admirably. You don't need a guy like Mason. Next guy, another injury guy that we just mentioned, Sheldon Soure. I say no way. Teams looking at him right now. Apparently the Rangers have looked into him. That's from Dreger also, So
Glenn Sather, someone has a cap hit of over $4 million. Spidey sense is going off. Let's see if we can work a deal for him.
See, I don't know if the good thing the about only Soure thing, is if he comes on reentry.
Matt and I talked about this beforehand. The only way that we would consider acquiring Soure is reentry waivers. Doesn't cost the Sharks anything. They would have to demote a player, but I mean, you know, moving Kent Huskins to a team that maybe needs some defensive depth.
Well, I think what you could do with Kent Huskins is move him to a team.
I don't think DW would demote him to Wooster.
No.
Wilson is really a guy who I believe, you know, especially with the Sharks' history of not being able to land free agents, Wilson's a guy who is cognizant of that. And also, like, he's a player's GM. He, you know, he rewards guys for how you know, they've played, and like he would honor that contract. He'd give Huskins or anyone else a chance to play unless they're on an AHL deal.
Well, he's an expiring contract too. So what you could do is move him maybe to a team like the Islanders, package him with a third round pick, and hopefully they take him and pay him for the rest of the year, and then he's done. You know, so I think that that's an option if need be, but that's pretty much somebody's going to have to go on the defense if they bring in another player because you're not going to carry seven with Huskins. It's just not going to work that way. So, next guy, a guy that Plank has had a love affair with for as long as I can remember.
I think love affair is an under.
Under.
Yeah.
Shrine in his closet, hair, shin guards.
Robin Regier, the love of many a man, but no one man has loved him as much as I. Again, just like Jan Heda, defensively, very, very sound. Will go up against top lines every single night. Very physical, more physical than Jan Heda is. I think he has 1 year left at about a 4.2.
I can tell if you
can
that
check that out.
He has 3 years left.
Three years left.
After
2 years.
This one.
Right.
2 years left after this at a
4.02. So that is affordable. If the Flames are in fact going to move Regier, it's going to cost you Devin Setoguchi. It's going to cost you Ben Ferriero, and it will probably cost you a draft pick too.
Because of how much it costs. Well, I'll let you finish. Go ahead.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, no. Go into that.
I was going to say because of how much it costs, there's no way I do it for Regier.
Right.
I think
That's it. That's it. That's a move that I'd look into in the off season. But yeah, I actually agree with Matt. Which is, I'm sorry, Robin. It breaks my heart to say.
With Wallin on this roster, I think that having another guy of that mold, it doesn't work. And with the team struggling to score.
Although to be completely fair, I mean, Robin Regier allows you to hold more third period leads.
Well, he does. And but he can roll out there with. He's been progressively worse as the last 2-3 years have gone on. Mm-hmm. It's not been a huge difference, but he hasn't been.
Well, he's not on the upswing. He's like 32,
exactly,
33
yeah,
years
so
old.
So he's not breaking down, but you're not getting what you used to get with Robert Regier. Mm-hmm. And I think him not being named to the Olympic team when everybody thought he was going to be last year was kind of a harbinger of something that was going on with him.
I don't know. I mean, that Olympic team blue line was...
It was stacked,
it was,
but I mean,
very
you
stacked.
Leave Regier off there, who's like the
quintessential
blue line.
Right, but with Olympic hockey, I mean, it's a little less physical. I mean, it's obviously as physical as we saw games, you know, the United States and Canada, and those were physical games.
Yeah.
Teams with everybody. I mean, Russia was throwing the body around. Every team was throwing the body around. But Olympic hockey, you need those offensive players. And I think Team Canada rewarded a lot of their young players, too,
right.
for
well,
going
I'm
into
I'm
the future. Because that...
That
Regier won't play in 2014.
No.
And he wouldn't have, even if he had a great year in 2010. So I think it just from a hockey operation standpoint, it made more sense to give, you know, Drew Doughty the nod, et cetera.
Right, but what I'm trying to say is that him not making the Olympic team doesn't mean, you know, he's bad, but I'm just saying he's fallen out of
yeah,
that
he's
elite
not,
group
yes.
of defensemen.
Yes.
Okay. Moving on.
Pretty much we can just shoot holes into
every
potential
yeah,
deal.
It's pretty bad.
It's very hard. And I know dudes on hockey who apparently listen to our first podcast, and they're great guys. I talk with Mike every once in a while and have been on their podcast, and they're good guys. And they poked fun at our audio recording last time, and which actually inspired the intro that we had tonight. But they mentioned this on their Wednesday podcast, too, where – the amount of available fits for San Jose in terms of getting the blue liner, it's tough.
Whoa.
It's really, really tough this year.
A lot of it has, you know, a lot to do with how many teams are in it still.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Calgary, we're talking about them like they're going to be selling off.
Right, but they're 2 points
out of the eighth.
Yeah.
So, you know, then.
Although I don't think Calgary makes the playoffs this year.
I don't think
year.
So either.
No. They're on like a 6-game winning streak right now, which is unsustainable.
last guy, another Atlanta defenseman.
Oh,
who
is he gonna go there?
Yeah, I'm gonna go there. Another Atlanta defenseman who's been mentioned, like
no.
Enstrom last week when we talked about
Don't
Tobias
do
Enstrom,
it.
Dustin Byfuglien, great defenseman this year. I mean, not defenseman, but great offensive defenseman.
Great
this
offensive
year.
Defenseman this year. 18 goals, 16 goals, 15
yeah,
goals. I'm
close,
going down.
Whatever.
somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Like 40 points going into the All-Star break or something.
Right.
Ridiculous.
Great offensive guy. But Atlanta's not going to move him. And there's a lot of people talking Byfuglien. I think we have enough Blackhawks on this roster from last year. We have Eager and we have Niemi. You don't need to add Byfuglien too. But with Byfuglien, Atlanta's trying to sign him to a contract extension. He wants to
stay
there.
I think he's an RFA next year as well.
He is an RFA.
Yeah.
So
there's no way Atlanta's moving.
No, there's no way.
What is our next order of business, good sir?
Breaking down the upcoming roadie.
Breaking down.
Well, it's not upcoming anymore.
Roadie.
We're kind of on it.
Break coming the upcoming East Coast roadie before it transitions into
kind of a
middle
earth roadie. So
I'm totally gonna dub in some Lord of the Rings music right there, by the way.
Go right ahead.
Post production.
So like we said, Boston today.
Boston's a good team.
Boston is a great team, and they really embarrass
Savard out for the year, though, which is unfortunate.
I really
feel for Savard. That's tough because he's such a good player. Oh,
he's a great player.
Yeah,
and it's just really sad that his career has degraded so much just because of injury.
Did you say Tim Thomas, by the way?
I didn't say Tim Thomas, but
I'm thinking about Tim Thomas. What a year that guy's having.
That was a weird segue.
Yeah, it was. No, but I really thought you did say Tim Thomas. I'm hearing footsteps. I'm hearing Tim Thomas.
No, but he's been great.
Yeah.
Boston, I said they embarrassed Dallas. Maybe that's what you heard. But they did embarrass Dallas. 3 goals quick, kind of like what
Wasn't
San
there
Jose.
Like like three fights in the first five seconds or something.
Paye got suspended.
But he was suspended 4 games.
Yep, 4 games.
And who spoke out against one of his teammates? I read a report where one of his teammates actually spoke out against it, and he said something to the order of, the league's trying to cut down on that, and like, yeah, he's your teammate, but you know, like that hit probably isn't legal, and blah blah blah. And he got some flack for that. I'm sorry, I can't name names there.
It's okay. We should probably research these things.
We should probably research these things.
So let's break down the road trip real quick. You got Boston. Okay, I think that's going to be a really good game. I think that the Sharks...
10 a.m.
10 a.m.
Set your alarm clock.
I think the Sharks come out with that one, though. I think that they've played well against good teams this year, and I think that they've got so much momentum right now that they carry that into Boston. I think that that's a win. Washington, I'm not so sure about. I feel like the offense could pick apart our defense. The team speed worries me a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Washington's a very good team. Looking at those first two games, that's the toughest part of the road trip, really, is over once you hit Wednesday. Because then you have Columbus, who we talked about, middling to below average. The Devils, who are, perennial Stanley Cup. What?
Yeah.
Who are horrible this year.
Yeah.
The Panthers, who, they're an average team.
Another middling team. But in the East, they're not as good. I would not say that the Panthers are as good as Columbus. They're about same standings wise in their respective conferences, but I don't think Florida's not a great team. Nashville,
right. Nashville's a good team.
Running into trouble with Nashville again, I think that's.
But really, it's just these next two games and then the last game. So, the road trip always, of course, you go on the road, and there's so many factors involved. Going in and opposing buildings and doing that, and we could see by the time that the Sharks do get to the Devils, Panthers, Predators, those three where, they're kind of running out of gas, and that could have an effect. But in terms of just talent versus talent, I think the Sharks have a pretty good chance to, at least at the bare minimum, they should break even on this road trip. And I would not be surprised to see them win 4 games.
In the 6-game losing streak that the Sharks had, though, they lost to Toronto, Edmonton, and Buffalo.
There you go.
Just careful there. Talent-wise, they match up pretty well.
Right. You know what, though? I've been so down on this team the entire year that this little run,
it's nice.
I'm trying to look at the bright side
positive,
here.
Positive, yeah.
By the way, I'm dubbing in Mr. Brightside post-production there, by the way.
I love all this post-production ideas Ho-pro. During the podcast. Right. Let's talk about it and then do it. last order of business, really, for us. Is every week Plank and I are going to ask.
I did not get a question for you, but I'm actually, you lead into it. I'm going to figure one out.
You're going to figure one out right now. So what we're going to do is every week Plank and I are going to have a little competition where one of us asks the other a question. And usually it's going to be an over under type thing, that we will tally up the next week. And I have to bow to Plank and his ultimate wisdom because he got his question correct. I asked him, where would Dan Boyle be picked? During the All-Star draft, I put it at 16.
And I took the over. Guess where he went?
He took the over, and he went 17, which is ridiculous. I think that speaks, one, to Plank's wisdom and me as my talent as a bets maker. So that was pretty good there, and I want to see what Plank has for me this week.
All right, we're going with a fairly simple one.
Okay.
We will probably be recording our next podcast on Thursday,
yes,
I'm guessing, and then publishing it on Friday.
Okay.
So in that time, the Sharks played the Bruins, the Capitals, and the Blue Jackets.
Okay.
I'm going to give you the amount of points. There's 6 available points on the table. Right. I'm going to give you the points that I think they will get, and you take the over or the under. And I'm going with 4.
I knew you were going to set it at 4. Yeah. That's tough.
4. I think they'll beat Columbus, and I think they will beat the Capitals but actually lose to the Bruins.
This is a really tough one for me because I was going to say 4. But because of, I just said
go
how
higher.
Confident. Yeah, I'm going to go higher.
Mr.
Because of how
Brightside.
Confident we've been in the team lately. They're really playing strong, scoring a ton of goals. I'm going to go higher.
Good man.
Yeah.
I await the final decision of the hockey gods.
wrapping up here now, a couple other things to talk about. We released how much we made.
$1,400.
Thank you guys so much. I know
really,
the
really appreciated
thanks
it.
Thanks you guys a ton. And that's really, I don't know many other blogs or communities that could donate that much money
mm-hmm.
just as a show of, you know, absolute generosity. You guys did a great job. Thank you so much. It reflects well on us. And we just want to extend our thank you.
Right. And I mean, the reason we were able to, you know, get all of those amazing prizes because of you guys, really. You know, it's a symbiotic relationship where,
definitely.
You know, your interest in the site, you know, inspires us to write articles, which inspires you to write comments, which inspires us to, you know, go above and beyond in that, and then inspires you. It's just, you know, constant. We're going to reach, you know, the sky here pretty soon.
Constant inspiration.
Yes, constant inspiration. Fear the Fin, constant inspiration.
The other thing is, thank you guys for so much for being interested in the Fear the Fin store. We've done a lot of stuff so far.
I think we've had about 50 t-shirts in total ordered.
That's great. And we really like to see that. Love to see your stuff. Wear it to the games. You know, we really want to see you on the Jumbotron. And what we're going to be doing is, before we release a new shirt, hopefully we'll be able to wait until the next home game, because it's going to be kind of tough for us to hold back that long because we've got some good ideas. But we're going to print out posters that we'll hand out before the game. And so that's
the,
really
we did
how
the
we're going to...
Couture for Calder right. one. What game was that?
That was the game against... Shoot, he had a nice little snipe in that game, too. I think it was
the
home
was that
game
the
against
Phoenix?
Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota, that was.
Yep.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Burnsy.
Burnsy.
Burnsy!
So we're going to pass out posters before the game. So come and grab one if you're there.
We'll
the next
be
time,
right in front of HP Pavilion.
In the palm trees.
Yes, in the palm trees.
So the one...
Not literally in the palm trees, below the palm trees. Although Matt did climb up, you know, the other day and started actually throwing banana peels down at people.
Better than feces. So the next day we're going to be
though?
Doing that. It's close. It's close. Yeah.
We'll actually do a video podcast if Matt climbs into those palm trees and throws his feces down at people.
So
what is this, corn?
17th versus Washington. That's when the next one's going to be dropped out. And
yes.
Look for that. We're really excited about the designs that we have coming, and look out for
A couple ones inspired by your comments, a couple ones we've been sitting on. It will be good. And congratulations to Matt, actually, here, for reaching his 500th follower.
Oh, I feel so special.
Today.
I finally made it.
And along with the t-shirt contest, I mean, with the t-shirts, we'll be holding some contests on Twitter. We'll be giving away some t-shirts. We're trying to figure out how to run discounts on Spreadshirt. That's kind of an ongoing thing. We might have to go to premium service. But long story short, we will be discounting things. And if not, you know, we'll just say, hey, discount, and we'll cut you like a $3 check and mail it to you.
A couple ideas that we have is that, you know, hey, Douglas Murray has a great game. That next week, Teach Me How to Dougie shirts are $2 less.
Right.
So something like that. We were supposed to ask them a question this week, and
we were supposed to ask the question. That was, you know,
total
that was
oversight.
A Fear the Fin podcast tradition
that we've been running the second annual,
yes,
or second consecutive day.
Okay,
let's see. I've got one.
Come on, yeah, so you got one. There you go.
When Torrey Mitchell comes back, who gets sent down? When Torrey Mitchell is back, and it might be Torrey Mitchell, it might be that the Sharks roll with 13 forwards, but I want to know, or we want to know.
We want to know what happens when Torrey Mitchell comes
right.
back. Does someone get demoted? Does someone get traded? Or do they stay pat?
Yeah, that's good.
Cool.
So leave that in the comments, and we can't wait to hear from you. Thank you from me and Plank.
Yep, and once again, have a good night, folks. And
a good night. Enjoy the Boston game.
Yes. Oh, yeah, it is the morning right now.
At 8 o'clock in the morning.
Have a good cup of tea there, mate.
Thanks a lot, guys.